Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and of course you do, be a pal, tell a friend, because more listeners make me feel important. Today, we are talking with Marcia from Clearview Janitorial, Clearview Services, Inc. It's locally owned business serving the... All right, Marcia, you got to help me. What valley do you serve since 1999?
Yes, it is called Wenatchee.
Oh, I would have butchered that. Thank you for saving me. The Wenatchee Valley since 1999. These guys take pride by setting a high standard for themselves and their employees to strive for. They want to exceed their customers' cleaning expectations, and they stand behind their work. If you want to reach out to Marcia and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.clearviewjanitorial.com. Marcia, thank you for saving me, and say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Well, hello, and thank you so much, Mike, for having me on Cleaning Nation. This is quite an honor.
I am so glad you're here. And honestly, just so you guys know, listeners, I was doing a strategy session with Marcia, and I was so enchanted. I said, lady, we got to get you on the podcast. You're too smart. You're too funny. You're too well-spoken. And now I've put a bunch of pressure on her to be awesome. So congratulations, Marcia.
Thank you.
And actually, I'm going to brag on you a second before we jump in, which I hadn't planned on doing, but I just remembered something I want to share. So I think you scheduled your session a couple days after. I don't know. Either way, we get on the phone. She's got her, I think, operations manager on the phone with her, which is great. And she said, you know what? I saw your webinar a day or two ago. I really got a lot of value. We've already implemented some stuff, which just made me so happy. And then I had my operations manager watch it again. And the both of us have watched it a couple times and we've already started implementing, but we think there's more value. We're not to where we want to be. Let's jump in. And I got to tell you, as a coach, when someone says, hey, I've already started implementing and I want more, I mean, I try to give everybody my best, but I promise you, Marcia got the good stuff. So people listening, that implementation and bias towards action, that is what makes a successful business owner, cleaning company, any industry, that bias toward action is going to serve you. So, Marcia, I just wanted to brag on you in front of God and everybody. Hope I didn't make you blush too bad.
Not too bad. Thank you so much. I really did got so much value out of the webinar, and then even more so when we had our strategy call. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah. And again, I do this because hopefully you guys get that I'm super passionate about this. So kind of what I get out of it, so to speak, is watching people grow and change and all that sort of stuff. So the cool thing is, and the frustrating thing is, I know that I can change businesses and lives and all that sort of stuff, but I'm the same. And sometimes I get people that are like, I don't get it, or I'm not interested. They just can't do it, and nothing happens. And then sometimes I get people like Marcia. I'm the same guy. I don't have any better or worse stuff for one person or another. And she gets tremendous value. So I just want to encourage you, Cleaning Nation, whether it's a book that you're reading, a coach that you're talking to, anybody, got to take responsibility for your own result. No matter how smart or dumb the person you're talking to, they can only take you as far as you're willing to go. So Marcia, you just did a great job of being an example of what a good, someone that's learning and constantly moving forward is going to have success. So I know that you're the kind of person I can call a year from now and you're going to be well on your way to your goal. So that's why I had you on. That said, tell us a little bit about your business. Are you married? Are you single? Where is this god-awful county that's unpronounceable located? Tell us a little bit about you.
Great. Well, thank you. So I am married. I've been married 22 years and we have two boys who are grown and out in their own homes. And so we are enjoying a time of life that certainly was different than when we had a house full of kids and their friends and all of that. So it's been kind of a fun couple of last years. And then we live in Wenatchee, Washington, which is actually in the center of the state. So we're on the eastern side of the Cascade Mountains. So unlike Seattle, we don't get very much rain, but we get a lot of snow. So we've gotten about 10 inches of snow this last week. So I really enjoy living here because there's four seasons, and that's an important part of what I like is living someplace where there's four seasons. And so that's a little bit about me. And then, as Mike said, we started our company in 1999. We started it out as a window cleaning company, and then quickly added cleaning services such as janitorial and some other in-home cleaning services, and then we've certainly grown from there to add some other services as well, carpet cleaning and duct cleaning. And so we do everything cleaning, and I have about 14 employees currently, pretty busy schedule constantly with work and my schedule personally. So I really like to stay busy and enjoy having employees around me that are vibrant people that are, you know, take charge kind of people. And so that is really helpful in meeting some of our mission statements that we have for our customers and for our company.
Yeah. And from what I heard from the one lone employee I got to talk to, you're doing a great job of having energetic, passionate people. If they're all like her, you guys are killing it out there on the employee front, at least.
Yes, and actually that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today is employees. And so we have some employees that are absolute such keepers. My heart would be that they would be with us forever. And I love having them be a part of our company and then also being a part of creating the culture that we want to have for our company.
All right, well, shoot, let's just jump right in since you've done such a good job of introducing yourself. What specific piece of the employee universe can I help you with today?
So, Mike, I call it the revolving door. So in addition to having some amazing employees that I value so much, we have had more than our fair share of employees that it did not work out. And one of the things that I'm really working on for this year is trimming unnecessary expenses. And one of them I've identified is employee turnover is one of our biggest costs that I would like to see changed. And so one of the questions I have for you is, do you have suggestions on a screening process, not only to determine their physical ability to do the work? I know it probably varies from state to state, but where I live, labor and industry, it's very, very, very picky about the questions you can and can't ask. And so it's really hard to determine through asking questions what their level is regarding their physical ability to be able to do the work. So I'm wondering if there's a process to determine that, and then also a process to determine if they're well-suited for our company and this industry, so that I can begin to narrow that gap of employee turnover.
Man, that is such a great question. And it's funny to work with startups all the way up to multi-million dollar companies and see the evolution of kind of doing it all yourself and just trying to figure it out and hiring a couple of employees. And that transition is always difficult. And then being desperate for customers, and you know how to get customers and how to keep employees and train them and not have the turnover. And then system, it's just kind of cool at each stage of the way you deal with stuff. And employees is a theme, that kind of a golden thread for cleaners that runs through all of the stages. So that said, I want to encourage you, Marcia, and Cleaning Nation, that employee turnover is difficult in the cleaning business. I don't think it's quite as bad as fast food, but it's right in that area in terms of what you're doing. So if that's an issue that you're dealing with, don't beat yourself up too much in terms of, you know, oh, everyone else probably has it great and their employees all stay and everything's perfect. I'm the only one that has this. I can assure you from coaching all of you, that's not the case. A lot of you are dealing with it. The good side, the good news, the flip side is you don't have to deal with it. There is a way out. Now, you're never, certainly in the cleaning business for, you know, $10 to $15 an hour, 20, depending on your area, you're never going to solve that problem emphatically and just say, great, I've got my perfect employees and they'll never leave and that's that. But it can be a lot different than probably where you're living. So that's the first thing I have to start with my private coaching clients, is that belief that it doesn't have to be this way. It is possible. So let me encourage you first and foremost, and it's tough kind of to do one to many, so I'll just encourage you, Marcia, that it is possible. And it sounds like you've got a lot of pieces in place that you're getting really quality employees. It's just your hit rate is probably lower and you're having to churn through more than you'd like to get those quality employees. So you can kind of, it moves generally from, I can't get any quality employees, it's a constant revolving door, nobody's any good, to every now and again, I get a good one and I have no idea how it happened, to I can get it a little more systematically good employees, but it's still too many that I, more than I'd like, are bad, which is probably where Marsh is at, to a system that fairly regularly brings in the employees that are going to fit and then systematically eliminates the ones that don't. So let's talk about that. First, I'm going to give you the easiest, lowest hanging fruit. So if you're a writer downer, this is a writer downer. Referrals and referrals from your best employees. Don't ask your customer. I mean, you can ask your customers, but I'm not talking about referrals from customers or from bad employees. I'm talking about referrals from your best employees. There's a couple things about good employees. One, they've got integrity. So if they're going to refer someone, they're going to give that someone, hey, I put my name on the line for you. Do a good job. Second, high quality people tend to hang out together and dirtbags tend to hang out together. So I would actively kind of not look for referrals from your worst employees and really seek out and encourage referrals from your best employees. So you probably knew that. But it's the quickest, easiest way. Does that, any questions or comments on that before we move on?
No, that's a great one. Thank you.
Yeah. And again, even for people that have been in the business for 15 years and quote unquote know it, it's a good reminder, right? Because you go, gosh, I know that, but I haven't been doing that. And a good metric to track is how many good employee referrals have I gotten over the last year. And if every employee that's a good one, right? Say you got 20 employees and you've got five that you really love, each one of those five should be giving you at least one referral a year, at least. And those are probably your best source of employees. The reason they're your best source of employees is, and you kind of touched on this with the word culture, which is my favorite thing. And it's so funny because in the janitorial industry, I get a lot of how do I get customers and all that. And I love teaching on that. But when I had my businesses in the construction, the car dealership, every time I got interviewed or asked to speak or write, a lot of it was on culture. So that's actually what I love. So you get me fired up, Marsha, when we talk about that. Culture to me is really just your core values being lived out loud. So the key and the starting point for attracting is to getting the right people is attracting the right people. So the way you've got to do that is you're going to be very clear on your core values. I'll use mine as an example because I'm really familiar with them. Be real, make money, help out, and have fun. We would be, all of our ads were very clear that this is what we were about. So what it, an ad I wouldn't like is great benefits, opportunity for advancement, hard workers only, do you have your driver's license? Show up here and come. Very generic, you're going to attract a very generic person who's just, probably filling out 100 ads that are exactly the same. For me, it was have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So it would say stuff like, are you a rock star? Do you want to do, so the vibe was super fun. We put something in there about, being real, like, hey, we're not looking to, if you want to be yourself at work the same way you're at home, this is the place for you. If you want to put on a mask and be super professional, you're probably not a fit. So just even the way you write the ads has a lot to do with the kind of a person that you attract. So if you want a vibrant, excited, passionate human being, and you write a boring black and white, terrible ad that is just like, we are this, come opportunity for improvement, we will train, transportation required. I mean, you're going to get I don't want to say losers, that's harsh, but you're not going to get who you want. If you want vibrant, passionate people, write a vibrant, passionate ad. You've got to make sure that your message matches your market. Same thing with marketing, right? You've got to use the right bait for the right fish. So if you're looking for a passionate, engaged fish, you've got to use passionate, engaged bait. That's huge. If you have the wrong bait, you're going to have, no matter how many applicants you get, they're going to be the wrong applicant. You can't, if you get 20 bad applicants, doesn't matter how good of a choice you make, they're all bad, right? You've got to get a good pool. So that's the foundation. If you get that wrong, nothing I'm going to tell you going forward makes sense. Any questions before I keep rambling on, Marsha?
Nope, that's great.
Perfect. So it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it. The first part is you have to know your core values, right? You can't communicate them until you know them. So step one, get real clear on your core values. Really, really get them, like help out, be real, have fun, make money. You can talk to someone that worked with me a decade ago. They could probably repeat those core values to you. That's how well we knew them. So that's the first part. Second, it's just like marketing. We haven't got into media yet. The message needs to match the target audience. You got to use the right bait for the right fish. The second part is you've got to use the right media. You've got to find out where your customers hang out. Where your employees hang out. And really it works for customers and employees. So if your best, and write this stuff down. This is a trick that I do in my paid stuff that's really good. So profile your good customers and your bad customers. And I know this is so politically incorrect these days, but I don't care. If you found that you've, over the last 5 or 10 or 20 years, however long you've been in business, you can just remember off the top of your head, 6 employees that you loved. Are they male or female? What are they, Hispanic? Are they white? Are they Are they older? Are they younger? Do they have kids at home? Are they retired? Is this their second job or their first? Did they have cleaning experience before? Or did you train them on everything? These are the kinds of questions that you want to ask. And then you also want to profile your bad employees. If you can just be, and it's probably easier this one, you got a list of 20. But the worst that you go, man, if I would have just never met them, that would have been great. Same questions. Are they old or are they young? Female or male? How well educated are they? What race are they? Do they have kids at home? Are they single? Are they married? Kind of ask those questions and create a profile. And you're not going to make your decisions based on these profiles, but it sure makes it a lot easier. If you just know, man, in my company with my culture, single Hispanic females with children at home, crush it for me. Well, when one of those walks in, you go, wow, I know you're not going to just hire because of that, but you sure are going to take a better look and just know that's who you've had got a lot of luck with. If you found that, you know, high school men that are single and don't have a family to support have been not great for you, well, when one of those guys walks in, it's not that you're never going to hire them, but you're going to look extra hard. So does that make sense in terms of making sure that you've got the right target audience for your people and you've really closely identified them?
It really does. And having that top of mind, like you said, so when they walk in the door or you get a resume from them, that you can zero in on that a little bit.
Well, and then if you take it a step further, do you think that the single Hispanic mom that's 32 with two kids at home is going to be in the same place, reading the same media, looking for a job in the same place as that 19-year-old Caucasian kid that still lives at home and is going to college part-time? They're going to be in totally different places, right? So you got to make sure that's where the media comes in, right? You want to make sure that your media, where you're communicating to these people, is correct, right? I love Hispanics because they congregate really nicely. If you find a magazine that's local that is in Spanish, man, that's fantastic. You've got a readership right there, right? So I love, and they're really good at referring too, by the way. I'm a big, I've had a lot of Hispanic employees and they're my favorite. I'm a white guy. I'm prejudiced against white guys. So long story short, if you know who they are, you can find out where they congregate. I'm guessing 19-year-old college students, they congregate somewhere as well. So you want to make sure that you've got your ad, your marketing message in the right place. If you're looking for college guys, well, then go to college to give your ad. If you're looking for Hispanic ladies, go to Spanish-speaking media outlets to look for your people. So that's another thing that's good. And the last thing is you've got to make sure your message is right. Something that's going to compel a single mom is going to be very different. That's going to compel a single young man who's going to college part-time. And that's going to be different from a retired elderly couple who their kids have left home and they're looking for something to keep them busy. Each one of those is going to have a very different message. So it's very, very clear that A, you know your core values. B, you know your kind of target, perfect avatar employee. Not that you won't hire anyone different than that, but you can certainly look for those folks. And then C, you communicate the right message that's appealing to that segment of the population, and you do it in a place where those people are going to go. Any questions on that before we move on to the next one? I know I'm going fast.
Can you say that again?
I said, do you have any questions on that before we go forward? I know I'm going fast.
No, that's great. I took some great notes.
Cool. And then the last thing I want to have on a little more tactical situation is test, test, and test. When you said, how do I know if people can do it? Have them do it. That's my favorite part. I love probation periods. And again, I don't know what the laws are in the land that you are listening. They vary state by state, city by city, and certainly country by country. And I know we've got some outside of the United States listeners. So obviously do everything within the confines of the law. But I always like doing probation periods where we're not going to hire you for the first 2 weeks. You're going to be 1099 just for that time, right? We're not trying to evade the law or trick, you know, try to make employees 1099. But I don't like doing 100 W-2s at the end of the year when I only have 17 employees, right? Because that means you've had too many churn. So I do a lot of the last interview is a shift. Let's work and let's put you to work for a week or two. And that's the best way to know if someone's a good employee is to work with them. And obviously you're going to pay them for that time, but you're not going to hire them until after a couple of weeks. So the best way to know if someone is suited for your company or your job or your whatever is to hire them, have them do it. That's absolutely the best way, or not hire them, but you know, put them on a probation period where you're going to hire them and have them demonstrate the thing. The second thing is have a system. So you don't want to do a bunch of different, just random. This guy gets interviewed this way and this gal gets interviewed that way. You want to have a system so it's done exactly the same way. And I can't get into it now because we're getting deep in time, but I like having three different interviews at three different places with three different people. That's not always possible for your small organization with the three different people, but a prospective employee is going to act very different in your office than they're going to act in your kitchen table, than they're going to act at a park, than they're going to act over lunch, than they're going to act over breakfast. So I like having three different interviews, three different places, with three different people, right? So you might have you interview them. If you're married and your spouse is involved, you might have them interview. Obviously, if you have a training manager, operations manager, you might have them interview. Even if you just got a regular employee that you think highly of, you can have them interview it. So I like lots of different interviews, lots of different places, lots of different people, hire slow, fire fast. So I know we've gone through a lot, but that's a good firestorm of to answer your question. Any questions you have before we move on to the lightning round and let you have an opportunity to give back to Cleaner Nation?
Okay, one question. So you started out saying test, 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 and a probation period of about 2 weeks, and then you talked about the interview process. The interview process for the three, does that happen prior to the test, the testing period, or does it intertwine?
Great question. The testing period would be the third or the fourth interview. So I kind of look at it as, if you just have two interviews in two different places, you can have the third interview be on a job site with your training manager, with yourself, that could be the third interview. Or if you have enough staff and enough resources to do three full interviews, then the fourth interview would be that testing period. So yeah, that to answer your question, that comes at the end, the very end.
Okay, very good.
Because you don't want a bunch of people in your clients' homes or businesses or whatever. You only want people that you feel very confident you're going to hire. It just saves you a lot of, you don't have to fire them. You can just say, hey, this was a probation period. And for even on their end, right? Maybe they go, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought. I'm out. Great. It just, it saves a lot of paperwork in terms of, we've hired you, now we've got a W-2, and at the end of the year, you're on the W-3 and you're quote unquote an employee for 4 days and we have to do a whole payroll. It just eliminates a lot of paperwork and red tape and headache. But again, check your local laws, make sure you're doing that well within the confines of the law. And obviously you're not outside of that. Any other questions before we hit the lightning round?
No, thank you for all that information.
Yeah, glad it could help. And I'm glad I got to share it with you because I know you're going to be the one to implement it, my friend. All right, lightning round. Three quick questions, three amazing answers. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I'd say the best piece of advice I ever received, at least as it pertains to business, but also in life, came from my dad. My dad was a painting contractor his entire life and very well sought after. In the 80s, he was making $100 an hour as a painting contractor. So he was really top notch. And he, one of the things he said to me and actually I put into practice when I was a teenager and working for him, is when we are at a customer's location, we always leave it better than we found it. And so as a painting contractor, although we weren't there to sweep floors, the kitchen floor would be swept if the kitchen area was a place that he put tarps down in and did some work. He would always do something that was a little bit extra to leave the place in better condition than what he found it. And that has been the cornerstone of how I put my company together and the philosophy that we work from.
And that's a good way to live life, right? Just leave wherever, whatever conversation or relationship or space that you've been in, leave it better than you found it.
Yes.
All right, great. That was a really good answer. Thank you for sharing. Second question, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business that maybe you can save some of us coming behind you some gray hair?
You bet. In the cleaning business, and maybe just in business in general, being an entrepreneur, the biggest mistake that I have made has been not allowing enough time for myself personally and getting to a burnout point. And so my suggestion for anyone out there would be to make sure to have parameters set up and to schedule fun times to do things and times to be off the grid, so to speak, and detached from the company for, you know, whether it's a couple of hours or a day or two, but somehow being able to keep yourself from getting to a place of burnout.
That is, thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of cleaners share that with me privately. And it's real lonely. So I just want to encourage everyone listening, that is a problem and it's handleable, but you've got to admit it and acknowledge it. A lot of people don't realize how big of a problem that is. So thank you so much for being so transparent and sharing, Marcia. Last question.
Yes.
What's the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today to most drastically improve their life or their business?
I would say one of the things that I have purposed to do the last couple of weeks again, being an entrepreneur, and I have staff members, but my time is pulled in so many places. And so I need to make sure that I return phone calls timely within a couple of hours of receiving a message. And so I think an action item for any of us that find ourselves really busy is to make sure we have a system in place that we can promptly return phone calls or emails, whatever that might be.
Couldn't agree more. That's just kind of the professional human thing to do. So well said. Glad that you're kind of identifying that. Marsha, I got to say, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Marsha's show notes page and find out everything you need about her, her company, all the stuff that we've talked about today, the notes, and if you want to know what you need to grow your cleaning company, go to our website, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. Jump into the blog. Jump into the community. Share. I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.